Give me a recommendation on what you think people should be eating.
Oh, okay. Well, basically the recommendations in my book, and this is not just simply based on what our ancestors ate. Again, I consider that a starting place. There are too many things that are influencing us now that I think we need to take into consideration with this. And there's also human longevity research that I bring heavily into the content of my book that modifies these basic principles into a more optimal way of eating that can extend both the quantity and the quality of your lifespan. And you have to understand that our ancestors didn't necessarily select food. And I'm not evading your question, but I'm just framing it a little bit.
We'll get back to it.
Okay. That our ancestors didn't necessarily choose food because they knew it was going to be optimally healthy for them. They were interested in surviving. And so they were willing to eat anything they had to in order to survive. There was also a basic psychology in any wild being, anything trying to make a living out there, out in the middle of nowhere. And that's that the law of the land is feast or famine. So whenever food was available, we learned to eat as much of it as we could because we didn't know if we were going to get to eat, the next day. And we still have the same physiological makeup and still the same psychology. And yet now we're living in an environment where we have this unnatural access to this unnatural abundance of food. And none of us have to take more than two steps to reach a refrigerator or some kind of snack someplace. I drive by probably 15 fast food places on my way home from work every day. And food is just available to us at our fingertips.
It may not be good.
Well, most of it isn't even food, is as far as I can tell. In fact, 90 cents out of every dollar, a food dollar spent, is spent on processed food, which is basically non-food. And is it any wonder that that diseases and health problems are skyrocketing? And it's the number one really economic issue for most families. The number one cause of bankruptcy right now in this country is healthcare crisis. Where most people are just one bad diagnosis away from complete financial ruin.
Right.
So if you can't afford to be sick, well, then you can't afford to not do everything possible to eat optimally well, to take care of your health. So basically, what I've done is I've taken a look at how do we manipulate the dietary principles, because certainly what our ancestors ate had a powerful impact on our nutritional requirements now.
Oh, what did they eat?
Okay, well, we're 99.998%, all of us, regardless of our background or our ethnic background, our ideology, or anything else, all of us are hunter-gatherers. And for a great deal of time throughout our history, we've been, mostly hunters. And so meat and naturally occurring fat, and during more temperate periods where there was more plant life available, or maybe closer to the equator where a lot of humans were, certainly fibrous plant foods would have played a significant role. That's primarily what we're designed to eat. Some nuts and small amounts of fruit as fruit was seasonally available. And, of course, wild fruit and modern-day cultivated fruit are two entirely different things.
Would fish fall into that category?
Yes, fish would fall into that category. Wild-caught fish would. Factory farm fish would not. And some eggs and that sort of a thing would also, fit into that picture.
And I don't hear any processed sugar in those days.
No, there isn't. As a matter of fact, sugar and starch in general, if you've ever taken a wild edible plant class, you go walking through the woods, and the person teaching the class will tell you, well, just only eat a little tiny bit of this and a little tiny bit of that, and this is kind of toxic, so you can't eat too much of that. And, oh, by the way, You know, most of the starchy tubers that you find out in the woods and most of the what would have been considered higher protein, like the wild legumes and things like that, are just completely toxic. You're just told to stay away from them, period. And certain wild tubers and things like that are edible maybe during certain times of the year, only when they're cooked extensively. But we didn't have widespread use of fire. Really, that we were using fire consistently for cooking things, and you know, until about 50,000 years ago. So, you know, for most of our history, although there's scattered evidence of fire, being used to cook meat around, you know, campfires and things like that, maybe 350,000 years or so back. And I think eating some cooked food is okay. I'm not necessarily a raw foodist. I think that there are pluses and minuses to cooking and raw. Then that's another subject we can delve into if you want. But I think that we have to realize that plant foods never would have been a foundation for us historically, because there's just, you know, animals have claws and teeth, and they have legs. They can run away when they're threatened. If somebody wants to eat them, plants don't have that advantage. So what plants do is they create chemicals to defend themselves with that can disrupt their endocrine systems, that can impact us adversely in some way to keep us from being to either keep us from eating them again by poisoning us, or keeping us from being able to maybe reproduce very well, so that our future progeny can't go out and eat these plants anymore. So,
were we really adapted though to have to eat chickens and cows and things like that? Did we really have to do that?
Did we have to do that?
Yeah.
Well, you know, we needed to expand our food supply with expanding human populations. And when we started creating concentrations of humans in one place, we had to find a way to, you know, be able to produce the foods that we were accustomed to eating and that we needed that were close at hand. And so along with agriculture came animal husbandry and the development of livestock. And I guess we bred animals so that they'd be a little bit more docile, a little easier to handle. And so it became, I guess, a necessity. And, you know, I'm not a fan of, as a matter of fact, I think that the commercial meat industry is, you know, basically they're not producing food and they're not treating animals in a way that I think end up resulting in a food that's healthy for us to eat. The health of the meat that you eat depends on the health of the animal that meat came from. And, you know, if you're eating an animal that lived its life in a tortured environment in cramped conditions, being chock full of hormones and antibiotics and being filled up with cement dust and gum wrappers and all the things that they, you know, and, you know, whatever else, all the other things that they stick these animals with in order to make them more valuable at auction time, that's not food for us, and it's not ethical. And I don't advocate in any way, shape, or form supporting that commercial meat industry.
So I think most of the food out there merely satisfies hunger pains and isn't really very good for us. What do you think?
Well, I don't even think it does that much to satisfy hunger pains. I think a lot of what's being sold as food is actually designed to make us hungrier. And when you're eating a diet that's based in carbohydrates, you're basically enslaving yourself to being preoccupied with eating all the time, because there's nothing more volatile than blood sugar. Sugar was never designed by our body to be, and nature would never have been so stupid as to make us dependent of necessity on sugar as our primary source of fuel, and yet that's the condition that we're all living under. And the only reason that people crave these carbohydrates is because they've metabolically adapted themselves in a very unnatural way to depending on sugar as their primary source of fuel. And all carbohydrates, all sugar, and, you know, all forms of sugar and starch are sugar once they hit the bloodstream.